A woman living in Wuhan, Hubei province, has been asked by her father to sponsor 100,000 yuan so that her little brother can buy an apartment. The father said, "It is the big sister's responsibility to financially assist the little brother. It must be done." Yes, so let's talk about this news story that's recently got loads of internet users talking about. What's the responsibility of the daughter and son?
Yes, so Bai Tonglu, a 23-year-old lady living in Wuhan, was brought up by her, actually by her grandma. But now her parents are asking her to contribute 100,000 yuan to buy a house for her little brother to get married. The parents insist that it is her responsibility being an elder sister, despite the fact that they didn't actually raise her when she was a kid. And the lady is working at an internet company. Her mother flipped out due to the fight with her father and left the home when she was only 4 months old. And her dad dumped her to her grandma. And when she was 6 years old, her mom gave birth to her little brother. And she continued to live with her grandma. So basically, the parents didn't raise the kid. But when the kid grows up, they decided that she needed to be the bigger sister and pay for a certain amount of money to her little brother.
Yeah, I mean, they're horrible. Their horrible parenting doesn't just stop there, or if you could even call it horrible parenting, because that implies they were there for her childhood. When she was a little kid, her mom only went to her grandma's home to see her once every 2 to 3 years. That's not really apparent in my... You see your friends more often. You see people that aren't even, you know, that close of friends more often than that. Within 10 minutes, you know, within 10 minutes, she's been getting 2 phone calls and 3 messages from these people as if, like, they've always taken care of her and been there for her so much. But this just hasn't been the case. As I understand, too, you know, whenever she would call these people as a kid to get to know her parents because they weren't showing up to be there when she was living with her grandma, they would be very impatient on the phone, like they just didn't have time or didn't want to give her time to talk to her, to make her feel special. Okay, so first of all, I want to say shame on these parents. I'm going to be with the 80% of netizens that believe the lady should not pay for the brother's house, who I'm pretty sure she doesn't know at all. But what I think, and maybe what these netizens thinks, isn't as big of a deal as what the law thinks, okay? So let's talk about what the law thinks. According to marriage law, the capable elder sister or brother has the responsibility to take care of the younger brother or sister when the parents passed away or if they're not able to do so themselves. At the same time, the younger brother and sister should be juveniles. So first, the elder brother or sister should have the ability to afford the responsibility. Second, the parents should be dead or unable to bear the raising burden. Why would you have kids if you can't bear that burden? I don't know. Third, the younger brother or sister should, again, be juveniles. So they should be the youngest one, basically the elder one, being able to, and if they are, take care of the younger one.
Yeah, so basically what the law says, if I can sum it up, sounds like if the brother and sister are grown-ups above the age of 18, then they don't have any legal responsibility over each other whatsoever. You are all grown-up adults with your own full ability of civil conduct, so you need to take care of yourself. But if everything can run so cut and dry according to law and regulations, then we wouldn't need to talk about this. And this wouldn't have created such a stir among internet users who look at this as a lot of people are saying that it's blunt favoritism towards the son over the daughter. So there is a gender issue here.
Well, there's several issues, I think, here, actually. And so as you had said, the law doesn't really pertain to the case we're talking about, or at least Tonglu won't have to do this, as I understand, because her brother's already grown up, and her parents are healthy and alive. Plus, according to the law, the responsibility of taking care of your little brother or sister only confines to food, education, and basic support, so that doesn't include loaning money or buying a house. And I think the father understands that, the father that is trying to get this money. So what he's saying is, now I guess as a threat to his daughter, is if you don't pay this way, I will make you pay through a kind of marriage law that says filial piety must be given to the parents if they are in poverty or can't work. So the father's saying, you either pay through this means or I can legally try to make you pay through the filial piety law. And so this is kind of the situation she's in. She could have to, if he wins a lawsuit later under these circumstances, have to pay him.
Why is it so difficult when your parents are making such demands towards you? And why is it creating such huge controversy when a lot of people seem to feel this strikes a chord with me? That is often what the big sister is feeling in a family when there's other siblings of sons.
Yeah, I think it has something to do with what you've earlier said about parents favoring the boy a little bit more than the girl situation. Because in traditional Chinese, let's say, thinking, parents believe that their son is like the real offspring of the family.
The heir of the family,
yes. And the daughter is like when they get married to another man, she like joins the family, the other family. And I dare to say that this girl is better off without their parents. Because if the girl is raised by their parents in certain circumstances, parents will continuously say things like, you should be responsible for your little brother in the future, or you should pay more money to us because we give you life, we raise you, things like that. So maybe there are girls who hold the mindset that I have the responsibility for my brother or something. So for them, I think the reason that a lot of people are talking about this or pay a lot of attention to this is because they have the similar experience, maybe not so extreme like this one, but they in a way or more or less have give money to their parents.
I think here it's interesting as we see that blood trumps the law or the understanding of what the boundaries are between human being to human being. And when there is the blood bond there, it seems to be spell you cannot escape from.
We talk about blood being that bond. I disagree. Look at successful adopted families. These are kids sometimes from different parts of the world, but the love, the family, the life, it's all there. So if you say that a family is specifically just the bond of blood, then what is that? What would you call that? Because that is a family, in sometimes the most successful forms of family. Family isn't a bond of blood, okay? Family can be friends. Family can be your adopted parents. They can be so many things. And I think this is a Cinderella type story. I actually don't think that this, you know, Cinderella, the story, as I understand, has roots in our history that go quite a ways back and has the ugly sisters and the wicked stepmother, right? So Cinderella doesn't have her parents. She lives with these people who constantly put her down, who are everything what a family shouldn't be, you know, is just people that are jealous and don't like her. But one day, somebody notices her. Somebody sees the beauty that's inside of her, takes her out of this horrible situation. Do you think she would ever consider those people family? Absolutely not. And so I think law sometimes doesn't, there's two parties here. I think the law is trying to bridge this gap between bad kids, that when the parents actually are good parents, they've been good parents, the kids don't give back. But now we're seeing a story where it's the other way around. But so I think the law needs to adapt to these kind of situations to say, sometimes these parents have never been parents. Rather, I think sometimes parents have kids for more of a retirement plan, not so much because they want kids. I think this happens in the U.S. I know in California, there have been cases where people have had kids to reap benefits from the government system for single mothers or these kind of things. I don't know. I've definitely heard stories specifically pertaining to that kind of mentality. And here, I think we're seeing that parents sometimes have kids because they want a retirement plan, not because they are invested or really care about the kid. And so in which case, too, I think also New Hong Lin has a very good point. Why did they keep the son and not the daughter? There is some kind of favoritism that I think is definitely, you can draw fingers to gender specificness. They chose the daughter, or they chose the son over the daughter. And not just that. So imagine how she feels. She feels she was never good enough for them to take care of her. And they cared and kept him. And they want to help him get a house. She's 32 and unmarried. They haven't necessarily cared about her well-being, her problems. Yet, to help her brother, who she's never met, they're asking her for money. And this, I mean, I think everybody can agree this is wrong.
It sounds like extreme unfairness on this woman. But I think there is a bit of a predicament for those who grew up in a family when maybe parents weren't necessarily there for them or have carried out their duties as parents to raise the child up. But the unfortunate thing is when you are a child and if you don't have the child services or the state representing you, then when you are in such a weak position, there's no way that you can use the law to help defend your position. But it's only after when you grow up. And in this case, I think this woman could also make the case that, well, if you haven't been my parents here when I was growing up, then why are you, what stance do you have to ask me to perform such duties after I grow up? Yeah. But here comes the very interesting, I think, underlying a common thread in our law when it comes to family issues and also marriage that goes back to filial piety, goes back to the blood. And if blood sort of becomes that curse to you and you can't really escape from it because that's protected by law, and that is the really depressing part as we were talking about this story before we got on air. And here, I think also it could be because in Chinese culture, we understand the blood bond is such a big deal in defining who we are and these very core family relationships that's very close to heart for a lot of people. Then when your parents are sort of against you, then it's very difficult to say no. And that becomes something that haunts you for a very long time. And that's also why unhappy families can be a bit of a stuck situation for people.
You say blood is such a big deal, but I feel like in many of the cases we've talked about where parents have kind of been like this or controlled their kids' lives, I would say blood makes you more of a slave. Doesn't make you have your own freedom to be able to make your own choices. And so I think that's really sad. I also want to say that I think the definition of family needs to change because those who we consider family can definitely not be blood. And adoption's just the perfect example, but I'm sure there's hundreds of others. So
yeah, I think that's very interesting, a view on what families are and if that should be changed to some extent in today's society. But also, I think quite interesting why a lot of people say, I've seen something like this, or this has happened to me, is actually in a broader sense, that between or among siblings, it seems to be a common thing that the one who's more successful gives money to the weaker ones. Is that something that is socially acceptable? Is that something good for us?
Absolutely not, but it is happening. It's common practice in Chinese families. And the reason I say it's common practice is because I think for the broader, let's say, scope or the more general situation here is that Chinese parents give and give and give a lot. General Chinese parents, they support their kids through their education. The kids don't need to get any loan, education loan or something. They just their university fee is paid by their parents. So I think the law is trying to protect the parents' right because of the common situation here. But later on, there are, like Ryan has said, there are bad parents as well. And parents always feels like when they're siblings, okay, let's say I am a parent. I will feel like it's my responsibility to make sure my kids are having a good life. So if one of my kids is having a good life and she or he has the ability to help her or his sibling, I would want her to do that because I want the other kid of mine having a good life. And that is somehow the mentality of some parents. It's not right. It's not fair to the, to the sibling who's having a good life, but it's in the parents' mind.
Yeah, you know, to come in, because I have a sister, she's older, I would say she's definitely successful, her and her husband. But I would feel so much shame taking from them, making maybe problems in their relationship, because, you know, many times if it's popularized in this kind of circumstance, maybe a wife or a husband is taking care of their sibling, all right? And this puts a lot of stress on a marriage because maybe, you know, they're like, giving money isn't going to solve the problem. Because I think often you'll find when you just give people money, they'll just ask for more money later. It's something that just keeps happening. Whereas I believe, like, if you're going to give someone something, education, a place to stay, these kind of things, food, that's important. That helps. But often I feel if it's just flat out money, a means that can be spent on so many different things, I think you'll find that this isn't going to solve the problem, but help these people maintain their problem. And I think there's that understanding between me and my sister, because we've never ask each other for money. Yet I know there's this understanding that if I fell and nobody could help me but her, I know she would have my back, and vice versa. It's more of a moral responsibility. And I think that's where it comes to play and where it means something, where family, all this stuff we talk about means something, is if you feel a moral responsibility, then it will happen. But this is the law saying you should feel this responsibility, and it's not there because they were never parents. And I think that happened naturally, and this needs to be addressed. Because if you're not parents, you don't deserve the privilege of being considered parents in the law. That's how I feel.
I think if they actually take the case to the court, I don't think the court
Maybe.
I mean, because the court may ask her to pay certain amount of money every month or every year to the
to
parents.
The parents.
Yeah. To the parents, yes. But I don't think the court will say
you have
to pay the 100,000 yuan. And that is why I think maybe, like you said earlier, that the law need to be updated in a way. But it's still... It is solving this case by case so that no one would be wronged even by their parents.
But do you consider them parents? That's what I'm saying. So yes, she should give money to her parents. Parents means those who raised you, right? Not just blood, okay? And this didn't happen. I would say caregiver in the law, you know, the grandma, for sure. The grandma... I don't feel sorry for her. I'm sure she loves this girl just as much as they have a good relationship, I hope. And that she raised her, and I'm sure that this girl feels very close to the person who took care of her and would be happy to help them. And I think that's what you'll find, is the law doesn't need to be there if both parties maintain their side of the deal. But that doesn't happen. Mm. And so then what does it mean?
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean?
I think, Ryan, your definition of parents is different to what the law recognizes as parents. That's one issue. And there's the other issue of it's between the siblings. The law says that for adult siblings, there's no liability. They're not responsible to each other. But what's interesting is that so many people feel that, yes, I am emotionally liable to my family. And family is a broad term, but it is an invisible burden that I think everyone carries. In order to shed from that burden, if we can define boundaries, of liability and responsibility, between brother and sister, parents and son or daughter. Do you think that would make things better, or that's not even achievable?
I think it's not achievable in the near future because there are worse situations, such as one of the siblings is getting severely ill, and I'm pretty sure the parents will give out whatever they have to save their kid, and that makes the other sibling kind of responsible to take care of the parents. But that is kind of like they are actually taking care of their other the other party in the family. I mean, the other siblings. So in practice, it's going to be really hard. But at least in our mind, we can start it to think like that, and that is actually happening because the netizens are criticizing the parents for asking for the money, and I think that's actually little progress.
I think what the netizens are saying and what we all feel and what we're really talking about here is what family is, all right? And how it's not being represented in the law. Is family are the people that played a part in your life, that had a relationship with you. All right, what's blood without the relationship? It's nothing, right? Maybe we have family across the world, distant, of course, but that might not mean anything to us. Family are the people that are in your life, and that may not always be blood. And so I think that's why we see such a common 80% netizen agreement here.
Yes, I think it's actually quite interesting that there's an overwhelming majority that supports the lady in saying you should wash your hands off your roots in a way.
And me. Don't
Yes,
forget
and
me.
Ryan Price, you have a very loud supporter
Yeah,
here on
hi.
Roundtable. You're listening to Roundtable with myself, He Yang, Ryan Price, and Niu Honglin.